I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited, and then he continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it is hard. I'm not there. My name is not I Was. When you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not I Will Be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am here. My name is I Am. Please quiet all your cell phones and all electronic devices so that we can prepare for worship at this moment as we listen to Arlen's prelude. Thank you, Arlen, for that very stirring prelude. Welcome to FCC on this very blustery fall day. Today is All Saints Sunday, and we are honored to have the families and friends joining us of people of our church and families who have passed away. If a candle is lit in honor of your loved one, please know that you are welcome to take that candle home with you as a reminder of God's love and light. Please remember to sign the friendship pad. You'll find it on the inside pew by the aisle. So sign it, pass it down, take a look at who you are sitting around, and be sure that everyone is made to feel welcome today. So let's have a look at the announcements. It's found on the blue sheet inside your bulletin. I will go through some of them, but have a look at the ones that I'm not going to mention. Next Saturday, November 10th, is the installation of the 2019 officers of CWF. It will be in the inner room at 10 a.m. All women are considered to be part of the Disciple Women's Ministry, and all are welcome and encouraged to attend. There will be a diaconate meeting after both services next Sunday to discuss the Thanksgiving dinner setup and serving. If any diaconate are not able to attend, please contact Tammy Heck so she can tell you what decisions are made. November 18th is the All Church Thanksgiving dinner. If some of you are new to here, you should know that there's no better place to find good food than a church potluck. The sign-up sheet for the dinner and for bringing a dish to share is on the bulletin board close to the office. And we will all meet here on Saturday, December 1st at 9:30 to decorate the church for Christmas. From hanging garland to hanging ornaments on the trees, there is a job and a place for everyone. So please, everyone, be there, and we should be out of here before lunch. And the annual congregational meeting and tasting party will be held between services on December 16th. Are there any other announcements? And Mike's wearing his orange shirt, so I'm guessing this is Pumpkin Patch.
Praise the Lord. The Pumpkin Patch is done. We had an awesome year this year. The latest figures that I have, and I'm pretty sure they're pretty close to being what Lee has, is we sold $22,901 worth of pumpkins. That puts us in the 35% commission bracket. And I think that's also the most pumpkins we've sold in the last 3 years. CWF's baked goods was $315.50. General donations were $160.50. And so overall, give yourselves a big round of applause, because a lot of you that are sitting out there did an awful lot of work. Now that you've done that, we're not done. At 1 o'clock today, we're going to load the pallets on Dan Cooey's trailer so he can take them out and they can be stored at his place out on off of Coal Creek Road. So if you have muscles and are so inclined, more people make light work, show up out here at the parking lot. We cleaned up the pallets out of the grassed area yesterday morning, and we'll load them on Dan's trailer and head him home for another year for till next early October. So thank you again for all that participated. It was a great year.
Are there any other announcements? All right, then, our first hymn is found on page 639 in your hymnal. We'll do verses 1 and 3. You'll want to keep your hymnal handy because the call to worship is on the next page. But before we sing, we'll stand and greet one another. worship is found on page 640. Arlen will play through the tune once, and then we'll sing it and begin the reading. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose.
What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us?
God, who did not withhold God's own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will God not also give us all things with him?
Who will separate us?
No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us.
For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers,
nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Strong is God's love for us. Alleluia.
Please join me in prayer. Loving God, we your saints gather to worship and praise you this day. We celebrate the saints who have served you and been an example for us throughout the past. We give you thanks for the joy of being a part of the communion of saints, with those who have gone before and with those scattered around the globe. Open us to your spirit to continue being the saints you have called us to be. We ask these things as we pray the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Our hymn of praise today is number 641. We'll sing verse 1 and 2 of the Appalachian folk hymn, I See the Mornin' Breakin'.
Thank you.
like to invite the children to come forward for a time of sharing this morning. As our little ones are coming up, I'll show the congregation the show and tell that I will be sharing with them. I'll be talking about these pictures, and so you have a chance to kind of see them from a distance. Come on down. It's so good to have everyone here today. Hi, Reese. Come have a seat. I like your alligator sweater. Hi, Mackenzie. So I have some pictures to show you. This is a picture of my dog, Henry. Henry was a dog that Charles and I adopted when we lived in Illinois, and then he moved all the way to Wyoming with us, and he's now in puppy dog heaven. He's gone, and we have a new dog named Brett, who's really hyper. And this is a picture of my mom and dad, a picture of my parents, and they are both gone to heaven, too. My mom died in 2014, and my dad died this year in April, right around Easter time. When people and pets that we love die, we are very sad because we miss them. But the good news is that because we love them, they are still with us. Their love is still in our hearts. We don't forget them. Even if we don't get to see them again, we can tell stories about them, we can see pictures of them, and we can remember the things that they shared with us and taught us. So I know this year, Reese's great-grandpa passed away, and his grandpa. And so today, we're going to be lighting candles for people who have died in the last year, and every candle represents the love that we have for someone special. Will you all pray with me? Dear God, we thank you for the gift of love. We thank you for people who are special and precious to us, for family and friends. God, on All Saints Sunday, we name before you that we miss those who are no longer here, but we still love them. And we thank you that we can love them forever. In Jesus' name, all God's children said, amen. And you all can go to Worship and Wonder, or Sunday school, or sit with your parents. As our little ones head out, I'd like to draw your attention to the list of prayer concerns that you'll find on the back of the bulletin. In the pew rack in front of you, there are prayer cards with a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a message to someone who needs to know you're praying for them today. Our card shower this morning includes the families of those whose names we'll read at the end of the service today. You're encouraged to write a prayer card to someone you know who is grieving. We extend sympathy to Jackie Cook at the passing of her sister. We extend our prayers to the family of Jace Ferrer, who suffered a horrible drowning accident at a birthday party 2 weeks ago. We pray for Ed Burgess, whose brother passed away recently. We continue to pray for numerous members and friends who are living with cancer and for those who have health and other concerns. We pray for Caroline, Kathy Malloy's sister. She is expected to be released from Elkhorn this week. She is doing well and plans to go home, but we continue to hold her in prayer for recovery. Kathy Malloy was at the emergency room on Tuesday briefly. It turns out she has an infection in the site of the port that is used for dialysis. She is trying to fight that infection, and if all goes well, then in a couple weeks she'll have surgery for a new port site. Ed and Mary Burgess are on their way to Sheridan today to be with Mary's daughter, Sandy Peterson, who is at the hospital there. Carol Sage asked for prayers for her great-grandson, Angelo, who's 16, he had a grand mal seizure this week. The missionary we're praying for today is Sarah Williams, who serves in India, And our regional prayer partners this morning are the members of First Christian Church in Greeley, Colorado, and their pastor, Mark Pumphrey. Are there other concerns or joys that we want to share today? Debbie. Prayers for Sandra Taylor, who is at the hospital, and prayers of rejoicing at the birth of Amelia, Debbie Mestis' great-granddaughter. Belle.
Prayers for Dan. He is having life struggles today.
Prayers for Dan Bilbisi this morning. Thank you for sharing that joy with us. Dwight, it is a pleasure and a privilege for our congregation to meet you, and we pray blessings upon you and Kristen as your life together unfolds. All that took place in the midst of moving, so a stressful but exciting time. Prayers of blessings for your whole family. Are there others today? Pam. Prayers for Pam's son recovering from ear surgery. Nicholas.
Next weekend, my dad's parents, my grandparents, Ed and Sally Grooms, will be moving to Casper from Moreland, and they've lived there a very long time. My grandma has been enjoying her farewell tour up there, but they'll be living in Primrose, and we're really excited that they'll be here. But maybe ask for prayers of patience for the family during the it's a pretty busy weekend next weekend, and that's when everything, of course, came together. That's when the moving company was available and things. So, but we're excited to have them here, and we'll be excited to share them with our church family.
Prayers of patience for all of the Groom's family, that the move goes well. Prayers of anticipatory welcome for Ed and Sally. I'm not sure how God has worked this out, but Virginia Braley is moving to Texas, and today is her last Sunday, and Ed and Sally are moving from Moreland to Casper. So the rule moving forward, if anybody leaves the church, you have to have two people replace you. I like it. Are there others today that we want to lift in prayer? Continue to pray for Amber struggling with inner ear. Dewey.
Yeah, I'm headed back to Denver again to have my eye looked at again.
Prayers for Dewey as he sees his eye doctor again in Denver, and prayers of thanksgiving that Kathy's eye surgery went well. Cindy. God does indeed build bridges and make connections. What a good thing to give thanks to the Lord for.
So I will be bringing Pam to church in August sometime.
Thanks for the advance notice.
She's got a large personality.
Are there others today? Then let us turn to the Lord in a time of shared silence as we pray together. O God of all generations, in this moment, we come before you, the great I Am, to give thanks for the saints in our lives, for people who were frail and sinful and broken, and yet people whom you used to reveal your light and love in our world. Lord, we pray for those who have gone before and for those who will come after, rejoicing at the gift of children in our midst. Oh God, we pray for every generation of the human family. Lord, in these moments, we lift to you prayers of comfort for those who are grieving. We pray for Jackie and Ed at the loss of siblings, and the family of little Jace, who have made the courageous decision to donate his organs that other children might be blessed with life. Lord, we pray for healing, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental, relational. God, we pray for your healing to be upon every aspect of our lives. We pray for those that we have named today, for Caroline and Kathy Malloy, for Dewey and Kathy Winders, Sandy Peterson, Pam's son as he recovers from ear surgery, a friend, Sandra Taylor, Carol's great-grandson, Angelo, and Amber as she continues to struggle. Oh God, we ask for healing for those who face long-term illnesses and those for whom recovery is swift and goes well. We give thanks for the gift of your healing hand. Lord, we pray with thanksgiving for connections made in our world, for friendships formed across the miles. We thank you for the delight Cindy has had in getting to know Pam and the anticipation of her visit. We pray for Virginia's journey to Texas, and for Ed and Sally Grooms as they move from a longtime beloved home in Orland here to Casper. We ask for patience for family members who help with moves, for excitement and courage in times of life changes. Lord, we rejoice with Kristen and Dwight in their finding love in one another. We pray your blessing upon their engagement and upon the adventures ahead for their families. We rejoice at the birth of Debbie's great-granddaughter, Amelia. And we pray for Phil and Becky Ostrander as they are in China today meeting Levi. Lord, we ask you to watch over Dan in his life struggles. You know his need for you in this very moment. And so we pray, God, for your spirit to surround him. We ask your blessing upon Sarah Williams and the work she does as a missionary in India. We pray for Mark Pumphrey and all the members of First Christian in Greeley, Colorado. Holy and gracious God, our prayers are many. Even when our words are few, we thank you, loving Lord, for looking into the depths of our lives and knowing our need, even when we cannot speak it aloud. We give thanks for healing and hope, for light and love, for your presence and the gift of peace. In Christ's name, amen. The 23rd Psalm includes the image of a table prepared in the presence of one's enemies, and a cup filled to overflowing. This morning we gather around the table of the Lord, prepared for us, but also prepared for others. It is a place of welcome for any and all in the world who seek the love of God revealed in Christ. Though we participate in communion by taking a small wafer and a tiny cup, the cup that is represented is truly an overflowing cup of love, embodied in the sacrifice of Jesus when he went to the cross to forgive our sins. All who are present here this day are welcome to share in the Lord's Supper, to partake of the cup and the bread as they are passed, and serve those who are seated next to you. Our communion hymn this morning is number 284, Gather Us In. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of 284.
As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he met with his friends in the upper room. Jesus took the bread and broke it and blessed it, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body broken for you." In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and said, "Take this, all of you, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of a new and eternal covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." As long as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
God, today we honor those loved ones that this year have gone to meet you in heaven. We honor and remember their lives and what their lives have meant to us. As we come to this table, we eat this bread and drink this cup to honor and remember our beloved Jesus and what his life and death on the cross has done in our lives. We pray God's love and blessing on our loved ones and on this table and its elements. Amen.
In Christ, we have obtained an inheritance, everlasting life. Giving our tithes and offerings reflects a grateful heart that wants to give back to God a portion of what he has given us, in reality, what is already his. As an act of praise and thanksgiving, let us share our gifts with and through the body of Christ. The diaconate will now receive our tithes and offerings. Please pray with me. O God, we offer our whole selves to you, the creator of everything. It is a joy and a blessing to share our gifts with one another. As we offer these things for the work of your church, help us to be mindful of all that we can do together as the body of Christ. Amen.
The reading today is the 23rd Psalm. It's on page 501 of your Pew Bible. And since it's such a beloved psalm, and we know it, I invite anyone to recite along with me or read along with me as I read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Thank you, choir, for that gift of music today. Thank you for being here to celebrate All Saints Sunday. A special word of welcome to those of you who are family members who have come to honor and remember your loved ones this morning. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, you are our good shepherd. You lead us through the darkest times, even valleys where the shadow of death overwhelms. Thank you for leading us to this moment when we might praise the great I Am in whose name we gather. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The 23rd Psalm. These two passages of Scripture, perhaps more than any other, are beloved by countless Christians around the world. They are words indeed that we inscribe on our hearts. If you know someone who has memorized Scripture, there may be countless verses they have learned, but my guess is that John 3:16 and the 23rd Psalm are on the list. They are words of such hope and comfort. We could spend an hour this morning exploring the 23rd Psalm, looking verse by verse at deep and hidden meanings of this text. In fact, we could have a sermon series that would last a month on the 23rd Psalm. Instead, this morning, I invite you simply to hold in your heart the images that come to mind when you hear that familiar refrain, those first words, "The Lord is my shepherd." Perhaps what comes to mind for you if you're a regular worshiper here at First Christian is the beauty of the stained glass window, a portrayal in colored glass of Jesus carrying sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Perhaps what comes to mind for you is green pastures and gently flowing streams, still waters, or a table laden with abundance. Or perhaps when you hear the 23rd Psalm, the first place your mind goes is to the last time you heard it. And for some in our midst this morning, that may have been at a funeral. I would estimate that probably 80% of the services I lead, whether they're funerals or memorial services, a celebration of life, people choose to have a reading of the 23rd Psalm. That's how significant it is to us. Because you see, we are all sheep. We belong to God. Though the text comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, for Christians, the connection is clear that Jesus is our Lord and Shepherd. He's the one who guides us, and he's the one who comforts us when we grieve. This morning, I want to share with you two or three stories about sheep, and I'll let you draw your own conclusions and put them together today. Northern New Mexico has an area similar to Wyoming where sheep herding is a long-standing practice. There are places in Wyoming where sheep herders still descend from the Basque people along the border of Spain, a specific culture who migrated here and tended sheep in between cattle ranches. In northern New Mexico, the tradition of sheep herding goes back to the late 1500s. After the Spanish conquistadors came, other Spaniards settled the region in between Native American peoples, and they brought with them horses and sheep. There are a few small, high mountain valleys where the sheep still raised today are called churro, a specific variety of sheep that traces its lineage all the way back to those early Spanish sheep who settled in the area. And the people who raise them and tend them descend from those early Spanish settlers. They've been Americans longer than America has been a country. And they have practiced and handed on the tradition of caring for sheep, shearing them, carding and spinning the wool into yarn, and then weaving beautiful tapestries. Hanging on the pulpit this morning is a shawl that came from Tierra Wool, a weaving cooperative, in a little Spanish village called Los Ojos in the high mountains of New Mexico, not too far from the town of Chimayo. It's part of the heritage of that region for people to tend sheep, to work together, to weave the fabric of their lives into the products of their hands, and to share the gift of generations with others who would travel to those beautiful high mountains. So that's sheep story number one, an inheritance of sheep. Sheep story number two comes from Pablo Neruda. He's a Chilean poet, beloved by his people for the work he did in his country, but also for his words. Most of Pablo Neruda's writing is poetry, but he's also written some very poetic essays. He has a short piece that talks about his early childhood. In it, he tells the story of being a young boy and exploring his parents' backyard, playing as children will to explore the world and looking at the most minute details before him of what seemed a vast expanse. One day he realized that his parents' backyard had a board fence and there was a hole in the fence. He went up and looked through it and saw wild land beyond, the landscape not too different from his backyard, but it seemed so vast. He backed up to have a better view, and suddenly a hand appeared in the hole in the fence. A tiny hand belonging to a little boy about his same age. Pablo ran over to investigate, and by the time he got there, the hand was gone, the boy was gone, but in its place, in that hole, was left a tiny toy sheep. And oh, what a beautiful sheep it was, he says. It was well worn. The wool was about worn off. You could tell it had been played with a lot, and it had little wheels that spun. He cherished and treasured that toy, for he knew it was a precious gift from someone he might never meet, but who was in some ways much like himself. Pablo writes that he ran back into the house to grab his favorite possession. It was a small pine cone, full of resin, earthy smelling and rich. He carried that pine cone carefully in his hands and placed it in the hole in the fence, then ran off and played with the sheep. The next day he came back and the pine cone was gone. He said to this day, he wrote this piece about 50 years later, he said, even to this day when I walk by a toy shop, I look for a sheep. They don't make sheep like that anymore. The little toy was lost in a fire somewhere along the way. But he says he never lost the lesson of knowing that we are connected with others, even people we may not see. He says it's a blessing to know the love of a brother, the love of your family, the close connection. But he said it's a special kind of blessing to know that there are total strangers who care for you too, who watch over you when you sleep. Pablo went on to spend his life giving his gifts to others in the world. He says it's not surprising then that his words are resinous, like that pine cone, filled with earthy fragrance. His attempt to return to the world the generosity he received in gifts. Sheep story number two. Sheep story number three is actually a whole collection of stories. Thinking about the gifts that Pablo Neruda wrote of made me think about the gifts of lives that we have received, gifts that we celebrate today. I think of people like Mark Steinle, whose wife and daughter are here this morning, who was connected with our congregation for a long time, but didn't actually officially join the church until shortly before his death. Tom Dowler, Paul Halleck, and I had the privilege of visiting with Pam and Mark in the family home and baptizing him that day. I think of people like Grace Sahlstrom, Bernice Riley, whose daughter and son-in-law have driven up from Cheyenne to be with us, Dottie Gray, Betty Burkhart, who've been members of this congregation in quiet ways through the years, faithfully participating as they were able, giving their gifts of time and presence. I think of Ramona Headlock, who is Robin Nelson's mom, Tommy Crawford, Emma's son, Tommy Dobson, my dad. Each name on this list, each sheep whose life we celebrate before the Good Shepherd, brought with it precious gifts that live on. There was Dwayne Axworthy, who served so faithfully as an American Baptist minister throughout his entire life, and then in retirement came to this congregation as a faithful member with his wife, Betty. His presence here was a steady, sure sign of the continuity of God's love in our midst. When health got to the point where Dwight couldn't be in worship with us, he and Betty would listen to another preacher on Sunday mornings at home. So they were still connected with God's word. Betty said it gave them courage because the preacher they listened to was older than either of them. There's Roger Miller. He and his wife, Cecilia, were faithful participants in Sunday school and choir, members here for many years before their health declined and they moved to Montana. Roger faithfully cared for Miss Cecilia, and when she went to heaven, he was ready to follow. He finally got that wish this year. There's Darlene McIrvin, who sat with Stan kind of in the back section of the lectern side every Sunday. She spent her life helping find cancer, looking at tiny slides under microscopes, doing a first view before oncologists would review the work. She often spotted things that the doctors were kind of busy and were hurrying past. But if Darlene drew their attention to something, they would pay attention. Who knows how many lives her careful care saved? We knew her as that CWF gal or that woman in her pew. There was Jackie Meeks, who came faithfully with her husband Jerry, who's still one of our members. She spent her life teaching and working in support of education in California before retiring and moving to Wyoming. She was a faithful wife and a beloved mother who raised daughters to be strong women. There's Wanda Leeling, who took care of every bereavement meal and reception this congregation had from the time of Truce Llewellyn on. And she gifted the world with beautiful Brazilian embroidery and taught others that skill. There's Anne Clocksee, whose strength of character and determination were a gift and sometimes a challenge. She faithfully served on the Stewardship Commission, and by her humble giving inspired others likewise to support the church with their time and their talent and their treasure. We wouldn't have the Scout Garage across the street if it weren't for Anne, who spearheaded that project and dedicated it in memory of her son. Our last saint to go to heaven was Billy Triplett. He was quite the musician, a singer in the church choir who also played piano and guitar, which reminds me of Catherine Kingsolver, who played piano beautifully and years ago led children's choirs here in this church. You know that Catherine has a legacy of faith when generations have been touched by her presence, rather like Betty Black, who moved here as a young woman to be director of Christian education. And she taught the Sunday school teachers and the youth group leaders who cared for people like Paul Halleck. You know, if the person who taught the person who taught Paul was here, she left a significant legacy. There are other names on our list of members and friends alike, relatives of those who are connected with our congregation. Each name, each sheep, if you will, gave incredible gifts for those who knew and loved them, not just in our congregation, but in our world. This morning, as we take time to read these names, we do so in an attitude of prayer, giving thanks for those gifts that are resiny and earthy, giving thanks for those gifts that cause the cups of our hearts to overflow with gratitude for God's love, giving thanks even for those gifts that were shared with one another as we walked through the valley of the shadow of death, following our Lord and Savior. I would invite our candle lighters to come forward. For those family members who are present here today, I'll remind you again that after the service, you're welcome to take a candle with you as a remembrance of this day. After each name is read, a candle will be lit and a chime will be rung. You're invited to be in an attitude of prayer. O holy God, we give thanks this day for all the saints of the church, for those who have tried to live holy lives, for those who may have stumbled upon the way but were deeply loved by you and by us. Lord, we give thanks for the gift of knowing that to be a saint is not to be perfect, but to live a human life graced by you, for you are the Holy One. Lord, hear our prayers of gratitude, where grief and joy intermingle as we lift to you the gifts of the lives of these saints. On this day, we pray for and celebrate Mark Steinle,
Betty Black,
Grace Sahlstrom,
Kyle Boundy,
Bernice Riley,
Ed Becker,
Dottie Gray,
Marjorie Schrantz,
Tommy Crawford.
Darlene McCurvin.
Betty Burkhart.
Anne Clocksiem.
Ramona Hadlock.
Tommy Dobson.
Reverend Wayne Axworthy.
Catherine Kingsolver.
Roger Miller.
Dolores Henley.
Elizabeth Steinley.
Ted Elzer.
Jackie Meeks.
Vanita Kearns.
Sammy DeHoff.
Cleo Ann Terry Glasspool.
Wanda Leeling.
Billy Triplett.
And we light a final candle in memory of those who touched our lives, who have also gone to heaven in the past year, whether we know their names or not. Let us pray. For all the saints who from their labors rest, who thee, O Lord, gave glory, we are forever blessed. Bless with eternal peace those whose lives have crossed our own and who you have called home to rest. And help us to live as people of faith, so that when your summons comes, we too may know eternal peace in Christ our Lord. Amen. The familiar hymn, "For All the Saints Who From Their Labors Rest," ends with the refrain, "Alleluia, Alleluia." That text is often shared on this day. This morning, we will sing together that tune, but with a different text. On page 649 in your hymnal, you'll find the hymn, "Give Thanks for Life." We'll sing together verses 1, 2, and 4. If there are any this morning who are looking for a new church home or who are moved to become a sheep of Christ's fold, to give yourself to Jesus, to ask him to be your Lord and Savior, you're invited to come forward this morning as we stand and sing. Number 649, 1, 2, and 4. Thank you. Give thanks for life. So we do in worship, and so we do as we live. I would remind you that there are invitation cards on the back table that our members are encouraged to pick up and hand to someone that you would like to invite to church with you, especially to bring them on Sunday, November 18th, and have them stay for the Thanksgiving dinner. Perhaps you feel a little intimidated inviting someone to church, so take a card with you and give that to someone that you would like to have worship. Our prayers today, additionally, are with Tricia Woods and her family. She and her father are traveling to Denver for a cancer treatment. And a reminder from Mike that pallet loading is at 1 o'clock today, so you have a quick break for lunch and then come back and pitch in with that if you're able. There is a time of fellowship waiting for us. There's coffee downstairs and refreshments in Fellowship Hall. We hope that you will indeed stay and visit with one another. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. O God of all the saints, we give thanks for those who have graced our lives in the past year. Lord, for those whose hearts are heavy with sorrow, bring your healing and your peace. Lift us to your heights, O God, filled with light and love, as we go forth, that we might so faithfully follow Christ as our Lord and Shepherd, that we too will be numbered among the saints, even though we are sinners. Give us grace, O God, and peace. Amen.